the insurance company totaled it out. So I don't know if God is wanting me to get a new car. Maybe, you know. But I took a pretty good jolt, but, you know, I'm standing here today and no ill effects from that. And I'm sure it was by his protective care, because I always pray for guardian angels to be around me whenever I travel, of any, even though it's short. My wife and I prayed on our way down here for a safe trip. So I am honored beyond anything you could imagine to be here in this. To me, it's a new sanctuary. And I have a few words that God has given to me to share with you. I will not be long. I say that believing by all faith that I will not be long. But, you know, God is, I heard some of the praise. I really apologize for being late. I gauged my time between how long it took me to get from Gallipolis to Huntington, and I forgot that Ironton is way beyond, a few miles beyond, so that's why I came in late. So I ask you to forgive me, but we will get on track. I love to listen to the praise music that Terry brings up whenever you have church service here. Pastor Butch and I go back many years. Carolyn and I go back many years. Pastor Butch was not really a practicing Christian when I first met him. So I don't know how long ago that was. But I have been with him ever since, because he got saved. Some of you know Pastor Butch before that salvation experience that he had. But I have been blessed by Pastor and his teachings of the Old Testament. I enjoyed the teachings of the Jewish roots. It has enriched my life extremely. By being able to be associated with him and traveling with him on some of his teaching trips. So I am thankful for that. There was something missing in my life, and there was a void there, and that void was filled once I began hearing about the Jewish roots. I just knew God had more than what we had been hearing. And, you know, I am one who never gets enough of what God has for me. I'm never satisfied with where I'm at. You know, I'm kind of like Paul when it comes to, I'm not what I was today, I'm not what I was yesterday, and neither will I be tomorrow what I am today, but I'm changing from glory to glory. Because God is my Father, Jesus is my brother, and the Holy Spirit is my helper and guide. Hallelujah. How can you lose with a combination like that, huh? And, you know, the presence of the Holy Spirit is so important in our walk. If you've never got acquainted personally with him, if you've never sat down and had a conversation just between you and the Holy Spirit, I ask you to do so. He will talk with you. He will speak with you. You know, how can you be guided by someone if you never talk to them? And I'm telling you from past experience that he will talk with you. He will come and be beside you whenever you ask. He is a very personal Holy Spirit. A lot of people, I say this, and please don't think I'm downgrading Jesus at all, because I'm not. But I'm saying sometimes we concentrate our walk upon the Father and the Son, and we ignore the Holy Spirit. But, you know, if you read the Word very plainly tells us, Jesus says, I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to be sitting at his right hand to be an advocate for you. But do not be concerned. Do not be worried, because I will send to you a comforter. So Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He is represented upon this earth with you and I by the Holy Spirit. So don't you think it's important that we get to know this person that Jesus sent to be our counselor, our guide, our teacher, one who is going to remind us of the scriptures and what Jesus said in them? I think it's important. That's not what I had came to share with you, but I did anyway, because to me, he's very important. I have not been diligently in the scriptures the last 2 or 3 months. We have been doing some construction at our house and such, so it's taken up a lot of my time. And I told Vic, I said, I don't know, maybe the accident. I'm not saying that God caused it, but maybe that was a sign for me to get back into my priorities, because I've been concentrating upon the construction. Also, I very seldom get called to speak, and that's okay if that's what God wants, because I don't consider myself a preacher. I'm not a preacher. I may go over into exhortation some, but I am one who will share with you my experiences with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, I have tremendous amount of things that I have put into a new book that's coming out that is called Never Alone. Because most of my life, the book goes from my birth through the challenges that I've had and how God brought me along spiritually into the present. It has been quite a spiritual journey. I have had some experiences with him that if you ever buy the book, I hope you do, not because I'm selling books, but because of God's presence in the book. I've had a lot of experiences in life's way. My kids, I have 4 daughters. Some of the things that they've gone through in their life, the challenges that they have, that God intervened in. But, you know, if we just take time to take inventory every now and then on our lives, you got stories. You can look at stories. When I started writing this last book, a lot of those had been put in the back of my mind. Some of them were hurtful that I didn't really want to face again, but God saw fit for them to be a part of it. But if I can leave you with anything here today, and that is that God is real, Jesus is real, and the Holy Spirit is real. And through certain encounters with those three, I know that their wishes is that we have a relationship with all three, not just one, not just two, but all three. You can never be completely who God wants you to be unless you have an experience with all three. They have to be a daily part of your life. Now, I want to leave that with you. They have to be a part of your daily life. You can go and you can do your job, but yet, in the subconscious of your mind, are you thinking of the goodness of God? You should be. And while you're doing it, you're not doing it for your boss, you're doing it for the glory of God. You see, God, we know, is love, and every time I come here and speak, I speak about love. A lot of you have never heard me speak before. I have a history of speaking about love, so it's not probably going to be any different today, because it's a very important part of our walk of understanding God's love for us, the depth of that love. And I encourage people to seek the Father so much. Thank you very much. I encourage you to seek him so much that you will come to a time of experiencing him up close and personal, that you experience in your life and can remember and share with your kids or your grandkids or your friends, that he allowed you to sit on his lap, that he allowed you to, that you allowed him to hold you, hug you, and kiss you on the forehead, pat you on the head. That's how personal he is, and that's how personal he wants to be, because I know, I've experienced it, and I know that he does, because he told me so. You can have as much of him as you want. It's like sitting down to a good homemade pie, and if you can settle for a small piece, that's okay. But somebody like me cannot settle for one little slice of pie. I gotta have more. And that's the way I am in my relationship with the Godhead. I want more. I wanna share with you some things. You know, I'm the type that, okay, I want to know how God thinks about things in our life. You know, I know he knows everything, so therefore I want to know some of the things that he knows. And I hope you do too, if you hunger and thirst after him. Now, some of these things, I'll be honest with you, I did not write, did not come out of my heart. It came out of the heart of someone else. But I think it's dynamite, and I think it's powerful. Okay? Did you ever wonder how God approached salvation? When he was sitting up there with the Godhead, figuring out salvation. You ever thought about that? You know, when he was thinking about salvation, he did not bring salvation to us by removing the evil out of the world. That was not his purpose for salvation. Do you ever think about how his presence, how salvation in God's view came to us? We know it came through Jesus, right? Salvation came through his presence. That's how it came to us. He came into the world by becoming God with us, Emmanuel. We talk about Emmanuel all the time, but do we stop and think about, you know, the small stuff? Being an estimator in my profession, I had to think about everything when I did an estimation for a job. So I understand that. You know, he did not take away the problems or remove the problems from the world. He didn't do it. So they're here. But some people, you know, want to dwell on the problems, and I'll get into that a little later. But let's just remember, he didn't take this stuff away. He did something much better than taking this stuff away. He gave us his presence through Jesus Christ. Yes. Remember now, that could go right over your head. But I want you to take it into your heart. He gave us his presence. He decided to come down to be among us. I want you to know that salvation is not the absence of sin. It's the presence of God. We concentrate a lot of times on sin. The devil fights us with that. Salvation is not removing the world darkness. It's the shining light of God that shines into the darkness. That's important. Those of you who came to know the Lord probably since I've been here last time. Okay? It came because a light shined into your world of darkness. That's the way it came to all of us, right? Came into our world of darkness, which is all around us. He came in. His presence came. We have to understand in our walk, for instance, we are not capable of overcoming the darkness that surrounds us. But yet we focus a lot on the darkness that's around us. We overcome the darkness by focusing on the light. Focusing on Him. We don't overcome sin by dwelling on sin. So many of us dwell upon our past, present, and the things that we may do wrong. But you see, what God wants us to do is not focus upon the sin, but to focus upon the answer to that sin, which is Him. We spend so much of our time in caring about the darkness, caring about the problems, caring about the evil, you know. But we don't spend enough time on concentrating on the presence of God, which takes away all of that. I don't care what it is in your life. God is the answer. Y'all believe that, don't you? That God is the answer to everything we face? Then why is it we allow things to crowd that out at different times in our life? I know some people says, well, because I'm human. And, you know, I told Vic, you know, I hear that a lot. You know, well, you know, I do these things because I'm only human. These are born again, spirit-filled Christians talking. And I really want to jump up and down, holler and scream and shout and carry on. You know, the thing of it is, we have a choice to make every day of our life, every hour of the day, every minute of the day in some cases, as to what we accept and allow into our life. We make a choice to go against the Word of God that has been given to us to live our life by. Now, I'm not standing here telling you I'm perfect. I kid my wife and say, well, I may be something like that. But she knows better, of course. But we concentrate too much on the negative and not on the positive. I'm sure Pastor Butch, preaches about faith. You hear faith, right? You know what faith is, right? Yeah, faith, the favorite one is faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But yet Jesus said you have eyes to see and see not. Yeah. You have ears to hear and hear not. But what he's not talking about these eyes and these ears, he's talking about the spiritual realm. Yes. Yes. We are to, that's what I'm get at in regards to we're only human. We are more spirit than we are human. Amen. Well, we should be. But in God's eyes, He has made it that way, that we are. Faith says we are. Right? Should our confession not be, we are? Should our confession not be as Paul? I'm not today what I was yesterday, and neither will I be tomorrow like I am today. I'll be changing from glory to glory. I wish Christians would be able to come to that full understanding of what that means. Of who we really are. in Christ Jesus. Now, we can read all kinds of books. We can hear all kinds of teaching tapes. Pastor Butch can get up here and he can preach a beautiful sermon in regards to it. But until we make the choice to follow the Word of God and what it says about us. Because we don't have to allow our own self to be in charge of our life. We have the Holy Spirit, like I said. And if we truly believe that He loves us, which He does, then we will walk. If we have Him in our life, Paul writes in the fifth chapter of Romans, the fifth verse, he says that the love of God has been placed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, is that true or is it not true? Excuse me. So the love of God is there, is within us. We are capable to walk in that. Not in our human ability, but in the spiritual ability. He will love through you if you allow Him to. The Holy Spirit will love through us if we allow Him to love through us. Now, I want to talk about, I told you I'd get to love, because God is love. He did what He did because of His love. You know, God never does anything that is not motivated by love. Everything He does is motivated by love. Love is tremendously important. Now, see, I also don't believe love can be defined. I write in my books that love cannot be defined. Oh, they make a stab at it, but it cannot be defined. I liken it to Nicodemus talking to Jesus about the Holy Spirit. And he is told, you can't see the Spirit, but you can see His movement. Like the wind, you can't see the wind, but you can see its effects. Love is the same way. Love is not an emotional feeling, although emotions are involved. Let me read this to you. God's love in us can be seen. It can be seen by the way we live our life. Stop and dwell on that. How we live our life. It can be seen in how we treat people. Amen. How we talk to them. By building them up and not tearing them down. One's actions, who loves, is sincere, honest, pure, devoted, affectionate, and constant. It endures in spite of one's imperfections and failure. That's where it gets some of us. I'm wrestling with that my own self in one particular area, which my wife knows well. God has taken me to a new level. He must be taking me to a new level in regards to that particular one. Some of the most powerful words that Jesus spoke, I believe, to us, for us, and which is to be our guide as to how we live our life. They're simple words. You may have read them 100 times. You may have heard them quoted 100 times. One is found in Matthew and one's found in Luke. It's a simple truth. Love can be seen in you. Can see whether light is alive within in you. And the guide to doing that is to do unto others what you want to be done to you. Amen. Simple. It's a simple statement that Jesus made. But how powerful that is. if we lived our everyday life by that one scripture, we do unto others. If husbands, if when we are upset with our wife, you know, do we speak to her like we want her to speak to us? You know? How about in-laws? In-laws. I could see that's a challenge for a few. I'm challenged by burning. But if you've never got a chance to get to know Bernie, you should, because he'll draw you closer to God. I'm not necessarily by the... Well, some of his jokes are, you know, you got to put up with them. Some of his stories, you got to say, okay, God, is there something for me in those stories? But Bernie's a great guy. I've known Bernie a long time, him and Debbie. And I must say, they showed love to me whenever my wife died in 2007. One of the few who actually took me in to some degree. We overcome life's challenges by concentrating upon God and His Word to us. Just how serious is your life that you live each day? How are people around us going to see the majesty of God if we do not walk as He has given us permission to walk and given us the instructions in His Word to walk? Some simple statements. You know, Jesus talks about love quite a bit when He says, you know, for you cannot love me unless you love your brother. You may say, I love Jesus. He says, but it's impossible to hate your brother and love me. You see, that's why I say love is important in our life, folks. I know you may think you've heard enough about love. Well, then if you've heard enough about love, your life should be nothing but a big love walk. But in God's eyes, by the fact He poured it out in us by the Holy Spirit when we became a child of God at salvation, He gave us that. He gave us the power through the Holy Spirit. I want you to know, you know, you have the power within you to walk in that love. When you stumble and fall, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, say, Father, forgive me, give me the strength. Holy Spirit, help me not do this again. It's 12:30. I think Butch said my time was up at 12:30. So, you got no Butch with me. I mean, I was speaking at a church down in Cairo, Georgia. And I'd ask my wife to, you know, to watch the time, because I just take off and I go to the rambling. I just go down every road that I come to, I go down. Pardon? I live in Gallipolis, Ohio. But when I was down there speaking, I got off on a lot of those things. And of course, Pastor Bill and Alice are good friends of mine, and Vicky's. And so, unknowing to me, I had said, well, I'm closing it down, you know, which I say about three times, but I said it And so Pastor Bill, I didn't know that, but Pastor Bill stood up. I got my back to him. And I just, didn't I take off on something else? You know? And I, have you ever had this feeling somebody is right behind you? You could feel their breath on the back of your neck. And I was talking, and all of a sudden I felt that. And I said to the congregation, I said, he's standing behind me, isn't he? They laughed. Sure enough, he was standing there. But I don't want to drag it out. I hope when you leave this place, not because of who I am, but because of who he is, you will be challenged to look into the Word of God. Look into the scriptures, all the scriptures that are there in regards to love. Yeah. And the fact that you don't have to be the one who does it. You just have to yield to the one who does do it. Yeah. Right? All right. I brought with me, not that I'm not hawking books or whatever, but I just wanted to let you see a couple books. That out of the six, the last book that's will be in print before Christmas, which is Never Alone, which I mentioned to you, is my sixth book. I started writing at the age of two. Thanks, Bernie. Huh? When I was 69 years old. Today I'm 79. Next year I'll be 80. Glory of God. I'll go on a rabbit trail. I was at after the wreck, I went, they took me to the VA because I wanted to be checked out, you know. I didn't want anything happening to me. And so I'm laying there, and after I'd been there for about an hour, the doctor came in. He said, I got two questions for you. Because, you know, he'd talked to me a number of times. I got two questions for you. I said, yes, sir. He said, do you smoke? Have you ever smoked? I said, no, sir. He said, okay, that I understand that now. He said, and is it true that you're 79? I said, yes, sir, I'll be 80 next June. He said, there's no way. You just don't look at it like it. You don't act like it. Of course, I don't know how a 79-year-old man is supposed to act. I watched my daddy, but he was much more alive, I think, than I am at that age. But you see, when I only can contribute it to God. You know, God's love and his mercy to me. How long he allows me to live, I don't know, but I will tell people about his love every chance I get because I think it's so important in our walk. I got these books. This book I'm very proud of here. It's called From Love to Love. It's a story of how God brought Vicki into my life almost 2 years after my wife died of cancer. She had had dementia for a number of years, and I had taken care of her during that process. And God that's how God showed me a lot about love. And in it, you know, she bears out some of her past. And the reason why it's called From Love to Love, God gave me and showed me through that marriage to Aileen about his love. I knew about his love, you know, when we met. And the thing of it is that the man she was married to, was the first time she had ever been exposed to what love was about. So we still talk about the love we have for our mates that are deceased. Her husband passed away. So God, we knew each other because I'd go up to Gallipolis and minister at the church where her and her husband were in leadership, and we got to fellowshipping that way. It's just remarkable in the book. I take you step by step. That's how that took place, and how what God had to do to me to get me prepared to marry again. Oh yeah, I did not want to get married again. It didn't make any difference who it was. God had to do a lot of things to me before I would allow his will to be accomplished in my life. You know, and I stand here today, oh, so thankful that I listened to him, because he has given to me a special, special gift, a beautiful gift. And I call her my gift from God. I couldn't. You know how you look down your life and you say, I would love to have this person in my life. This is what I would have. Boom, 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 boom. You know how you make all those things up? She's the answer to all my list of things. You know, so that's what this book's about. This book is about marriage, and that it is a sacred bond. Marriage is a sacred bond, and that's what this says. Now, like I said, I brought a few with me if you want them. You can pay my wife. But they're not that expensive, $10, $7, $15 for both. So it's up to you as to whether or not you want them. I didn't come here specifically to do that, but I thought since Butch wasn't here, that maybe I could work it in. Amen. Yeah. No, he doesn't mind, because he has endorsed some of my writings, and he has endorsed my new book, Never Alone. In fact, Bernie, he wrote some nice things. Yeah, Pastor Butch did. He wrote some nice things about me. So, but I want to thank you for being attentive to me. And like I told you, I'm not a preacher. I'm just somebody who likes to talk about the things of God. Okay? Father, we come to you in the blessed name of Jesus. Father, it is our desire that we worship you in spirit and in truth, that we allow our life to be so entwined with you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, that people will see you through our life, that we are the only God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that they may ever see. So may we see the seriousness of that matter and live our life according to your word and what you teach us. And may we be attentive to the times we come into your house to fellowship together as brothers and sisters, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, may your hand be upon each one of us here. May you place guardian angels around them as they go their separate ways. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. In the blessed name of Jesus. Now don't tell Butch I ran over 10 minutes. Oh, you all doing communion? I know nothing about that. Uh-oh.
Well, we're going to we have communion, and we're going to serve that, and then we'll be dismissed right after that. How's that? And thank you for being here and enlightening us in the Word of God. It's always a pleasure to get to be with you. Debbie and you. It has been a number of years since I've done this, so if I'm not proficient at it, it's all right. If I've learned anything over the years, I've learned that God blesses a willing heart, a person that's willing to follow him, to be obedient to his word and all. God is willing to do that. And You may not be the most fluent person in the Word of God, but, you know, sometimes He just wants you to look at a friend and say, what's wrong? They have nobody to go to unless it's a Christian. They have nobody to show them the way a lot of times because none of their families know anything about it. I remember one night I got called out to one of my wife's cousin's house, and they had been talking to this little girl and telling her about salvation. They told her about it, but they didn't tell her how to do it. And they called me in the middle of the night. It was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and asked me if I would come down and tell her what she needed to do to be saved. Well, that should be just like somebody asking you how to eat breakfast. I mean, it should be a part of you that you could do it every day. But it's just simple. The Word of God says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Get them to that point and then tell them about His love. And I'll get that. Amen. And like I said, this is going to be a lot different than Pastor Butch, but I'm not Pastor Butch. The Word of God tells us that before Jesus left, when He was talking to His disciples and those that were there, He said, "This is My body." Well, I always wondered why you would convey that a piece of bread was you. And then I realized that bread is considered the substance of life. In other words, we wouldn't be existing if there wasn't bread. And, you know, we wouldn't be existing if it wasn't for Jesus. We wouldn't be existing if it hasn't been for God being willing before the foundation of the world to give His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And as I take that, I understand His meaning and His thoughts on that. And I don't take it lightly, but I take it in love. Father, we thank You that You have given us the bread of life, that You have presented to us Your body, Your existence, that we could be saved from all our sins and shortcomings. And Father, that You would give us the blessings of Your body, of Your heart, Your love, just because of that love. And we ask, thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Often wondered about this. Wine, the fruit of the vine. God created it. He created it for a purpose. He created it for joy and peace. You know, every time anybody thinks of wine, they think of getting drunk and passing out and all that stuff. Wine was never meant for that. It was a nourishment to the body. It was a nourishment to show that God's love in the simple things was expressed to bring joy to you. His blood washes away all sins. His blood cleanses us and prepares us for that relationship with Him. Father, we thank You. As we lift up our cups, we declare L'chaim, that is in the blood. And Father, that You shed Your blood for us, You prepared it, and as we take of it, we understand that it is within us that Your Holy Spirit lives, and that it is in us that You reach out to the world, and it's in us that You remind us on a continual basis, because Your word says for every time that we partake of this, that we should remember and understand that You have expressed Your love to us, and that we can express that love because we've experienced it to those around us. And Father, we thank You, and we give You praise in Jesus' name. It's different. I didn't do what Butch did, but I'm not Butch. Thanks goodness. So, let's all look to the Lord and be dismissed. Father, we thank You. We give You praise. We give You honor and glory. We thank You, Father, that You, Holy Spirit, has been here this morning and teaching us and instructing us in the paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. And we ask that You go with us as we go out into the world, that You allow us to have words to those that are lost, words to those that are hurt and injured, and Father, that we can bring them into the house of healing and give them the love of Jesus Christ in everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.